If I may, I have completely forgotten about that. If you are a guest here this morning, please feel free to let the offering baskets go by. If you're not a guest and you would like to give, this is part of our worship to God, then please do give. But what I would really like you to do is open your ears right up to hear from Rebecca Carbu. Come over, Rebecca. Now, I've asked a couple of people to share some inspiring stories this morning, and Rebecca and I were going to do a little interview, but God spoke. So, Rebecca, you're going to talk to us this morning, aren't you?
I've written it out to eliminate any emotional moments. So, okay. I was badly injured in a serious car accident in 2006 when I was 24. The pain and suffering I went through was awful. I can't describe it in words. I strongly felt God tell me in the helicopter on the way to the hospital that I wasn't going to die. This sustained me during those early uncertain days and the subsequent 2 months I spent in hospital in total. I felt like I was living in a massive bubble of grace. The suffering was terrible, but I felt such an overwhelming sense of peace that went beyond understanding. The recovery was very hard. I had lots of support around me, but I felt so alone within it all. By this time, all the emotional stuff started to come out. I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't really know anyone who had experience regarding this level of trauma at that time. I felt for many years as though I was isolated from everyone around me, like a freak. I was so scared of everything. I always imagined something bad was going to happen all the time. My energy levels were so low, not like before. I had crazy levels of energy, never staying still, always running, always moving. My daughter is like this, which I love to see in her. I stopped socializing. I really couldn't do my job successfully anymore. I was so down, it was awful. I actually felt like a failure. My family were also grieving for the Rebecca they once knew, who I no longer was. I went from an extrovert to an introvert overnight. I met my husband, Ish, during this time. He actually worked night shift last night and is here today, so big up to him. He was amazing. He only knew me as I was now and totally loved me and accepted me. I left my job working for the church and was seriously struggling. I literally went back to the start. I found it so hard being at church. I went to uni, began to question from the beginning, what do I really believe about God? I went over everything again and questioned the pure foundations of my faith and relationship with God. I then had my daughter, Charlotte. It was a very difficult pregnancy. Not only was I very sick throughout, but I also had terrible pelvic pain and problems where the joints were moving out of place. I remember trying to walk down the stairs and it felt like I was walking on dislocated hips and sobbing at each step. It was so tough. I had an elective C-section and then had my beautiful girl. She's a wonderful treasure gift from God. It took me about a year to get to a decent level of mobility after the pregnancy. However, this period of normality only lasted for a month. I was then worse than ever. I started getting terrible nerve pains in my lower back and down my leg. My back went into permanent spasm, which then affected my pelvis. I was in ridiculous amounts of pain. I went back and forth to the doctors to get more pain meds just to get me through the day and found it very difficult to sleep at night. As I was on so much medication and with the lack of sleep, this made me feel totally disconnected from the world around me. Each day and night became an existence, and I still had my one-year-old daughter to look after and a husband who worked long hours and crazy shifts. It was such a dark time. I remember this time last year, which was the beginning of all the consultant referrals and investigations. Myself and Ish not knowing what was going on and the fear of whether this was going to be a permanent disability. I was praying one evening and read Isaiah 61 verse 3. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I remember crying to God, feeling so lonely. Chronic pain is like death. It steals away everything. It can leave you with feelings of despair. At this time, I would just meditate on verses and didn't really have the strength to do much else but pour out my heart to God. I got to the point where it wasn't that I didn't believe God could heal or that he wanted to heal me or that he is good. It was like these things were etched deep in my heart and there was no denial of it. But I couldn't be the one waving the flag and being strong about it. I had to let my friends and family do that on my behalf. It just took my strength to get through each day and to focus on the here and now. I then ended up at my GP sobbing and saying how I felt so vulnerable that I couldn't cope anymore. She was amazing and referred me to counselling. I was then diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I had been living with it for years, but the chronic pain had pushed me beyond my coping mechanisms. She taught me that it was okay to ask for help. I realised that I could see the love and kindness of Jesus through so many people, through the healthcare service available to me, to random strangers on the streets, to people that don't even know Jesus. He can use anyone to show you his love. These then became the things that sustained me. The counselling was an amazing tool, cognitive behavioural therapy, which I found to be very biblical, to take captive your thoughts, managing to recognise anxious thoughts and to turn them around and tell yourself the truth. It brought me into a place of freedom I haven't known for years, to not feel unsafe constantly anymore, to know and believe that God is with me no matter what. As Psalm 23 verse 4 says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. During the investigations I was having, they at first were convinced the symptoms related to the crash. Then they started questioning whether it was something else, perhaps neurological. This was a very difficult time. I privately prayed that I would see my daughter grow up and be a big part of her life. I hadn't shared this with anyone. I was then chatting to someone on the phone, and they told me they had dreamt that God told them to tell Rebecca, you will see your children's children. It was like God was giving me signposts of hope throughout. At this point, I didn't know whether I was going to be permanently disabled or if I would improve, but I found myself being led down the pathway of focusing on what I can do and what I can achieve. I got to the point where the MRI scans weren't explaining the severe level of pain. I had some facet joint injections which actually made the symptoms worse at first. It was a low point. Medical science had come to the point of saying, we don't know what's going on. We believe you're experiencing great pain, but can't explain why. And this is quite common in your situation. We have no answers for you. You would just need to learn to manage everything and live a reduced lifestyle. So I continued with physio. I've known my physiotherapist since the early days. And Roz, she's here this morning as well to support me. She has been an amazing blessing and encouragement to me and is to so many people within our town. I made choices to keep on pushing. I would practice walking around the block with my hubby and try not to use my crutch for a certain distance. I remember coming home from Isha's graduation ceremony at the end of July. The nerve pain was so severe on the journey home. I was just crying and trying to sing along to the Matt Redman CD we were playing. I was meaning it with all my heart through each stabbing pain. The words, shall I read the whole thing or just pause? Okay. And the words are, standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Every step we are breathing in your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out your praise. You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Over the summer, I had visited A&E a few times with complications related to being on so much strong medication for so long. On one occasion, I was having severe abdominal pains and was taken in by ambulance. Colin came to pray with me and Ish, and I was on morphine and having various blood tests as they were worried about my liver function. After a while, the terrible pain subsided and we were able to go home. It was an answer to prayer, but I was still surrounded by suffering after suffering. It was about a month after this that I said to God, right, I'm done with crutches, I'm done with pain, and I'm done with painkillers. So I stopped taking my painkillers. I don't know if you could call it faith or stubbornness. It went from one day to two to a week to 2 weeks. It's now been nearly 2 months. I still get niggling pains and my back is very stiff in the mornings. I get moments when it's bad, but for the majority of the time, I have no significant pain. It's just switched. I have a light spirit. I don't feel heavy and weighed down. I feel full of hope and I feel like a 32-year-old again. I'm now taking back my responsibilities from my husband and focusing on being a mum, a wife and a friend to others. All the things that I've wanted the freedom to do for so long. I feel like I've gained a victory, like I'm walking down a path of healing and faith. It's still very uncertain. I know this is an ongoing battle and it's not over yet. I'm not naive. I know my medical diagnosis is that I'll be battling with my health for the rest of my life. I know I have a part to play, that I'm a caretaker of my body and need to work hard to stay healthy and look after it. But what I've learnt so well is that whether I'm in a wheelchair or power walking, in pain or pain-free, God is good. God is love. He wants to know me intimately. He pursues me and he wants me to chase him too. And no matter what my life experience or those of others around me, my parents have had 5 friends who have died of cancer this year alone. He wants us to keep on pushing into healing, to pray down his will on earth as it is in heaven. I once heard a wise lady said, "Don't let the hard knocks of life make you bitter." God is looking for a warrior bride that can take it, take what's been thrown at us and get up and get going again, never giving up, even if we're not the ones to see the promised land. We are part of the footprints, the milestones to get into this point. This doesn't take away from the pain and disappointment, the frustration and despair. But like that old chorus says, there is a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And I bet most of us here didn't realise that through these last years, that's the depth of stuff that Rebecca's been going through. And we were going to do a short interview, but wow, when I read some of that, it was like, do you know what? That's just not possible. We just have to hear it. So I am so grateful to her for opening her heart. And I just sensed that this morning, the Lord wants to release some of this over people. You know, when he gives us testimonies like Rebecca's, they produce power when they're told, and they produce power in people's lives. And I know that there are people here today who are struggling with long-term situations. You've got hopeless things going on. You're like, this is too hard for me. I want you to take courage from what you've heard this morning from this lady. I just want to just replay something you said. What I have learnt so well is that whether I'm in a wheelchair or power walking, in pain or pain-free, God is good. God is love. He wants me to know him intimately. And that is true. So I would like Rebecca to pray over us this morning. If you know that you're in a situation like that and you need to know breakthrough, would you just put your hand up? Would you just put your hand up? Okay, Rebecca. There are guys here that need the power of your testimony. Would you pray over them? Go for it.
Lord, I just thank you so much for your love that is never ending, Lord Jesus. I thank you for your hope, Lord. I thank you that the power of all that you are, your love, everything you are, is stronger than death, Lord, is stronger than any of our life situations and circumstances, no matter how bleak they feel, Lord. And Lord, I just want to pray for every single person in this room, Lord Jesus, every person who's put their hand up, Lord. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just come now in power and that you would just brood over them. That, Lord, you would just come with your healing power and that you will heal their hearts, Lord Jesus. That whatever is wrong in their bodies, Lord, you will bring a healing, Lord. That you will bring your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. That your will be done, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your hearts are for us, God. That your hearts break when our hearts break, Lord. You see the pain and suffering that we go through and you have so much compassion for us. This is why you died on the cross for us, to gain that victory. And Lord, I just want to pray down your will on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. And I pray for your comfort, Lord. You'd be such a comforter to so many people, Lord, that where they feel like they can't go on anymore, Lord. I just pray that they would just be so aware that you're taking their hands now and you're pulling them up, standing up and saying, come on, we can do this together. We can get through this together, Lord. I pray that you would just give those signs that every step of the day, just, you know, on Sunday this morning, it's all great when we're all together. But on that Monday morning, when you're faced with the bleakness, that you will see the promise of Jesus in your life and you will hear his voice through wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, that you see the love and kindness of Jesus. Just keep on going. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we just want to pray for Rebecca
too. Lord, I want to thank you for this woman who's walked with you through all of this over these years. And Father, in your name, we just want to release more and more healing and blessing over her life. Father, I thank you for her testimony that you have met her. And Lord, I just I look at this bit that you said, Rebecca. I know this is an ongoing battle and it's not over yet. I know my medical diagnosis is that I will be battling with my health for the rest of my life. And we just want to pray into that. And we want to pray for complete freedom, for complete health, for complete wholeness. In Jesus' name, that every step you take takes you closer and closer to complete freedom. In the name of Jesus. And we speak to all this pain and all this stiffness in Jesus' name. And we say, be healed. Be healed. But thank you for the testimony of this woman. Rebecca, may your life touch the lives of many. May you release the power of Jesus into many, many lives through the testimony that you have. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. A round of applause for this amazing lady. All right. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? And that is an inspiring story. And that is our theme this morning, if you read your email. Inspiring stories. And that's an inspiring story on a personal level. And the Lord is so interested in our lives and our lives with him. But you know, he's also interested in the lives of the people beyond these four walls. And I've got two ladies who are also going to tell you some inspiring stories about what's happening in Larchfield, which is the estate just over there that we work in. You know, I'm directionally challenged over there, over there, that we work into as a church, really wanting to bring love and blessing to the lives of the people there. And I'm just going to invite first Laura and then Linda to come and tell us. Have you got that slide? Fantastic. Laura, come up here, take a seat. We're loving the bar stool thing here. Come on up. Yeah, no, it's great, isn't it? It's all right for me with long legs and heels, but it's a challenge. Okay, so Laura, on the slide over there, we've got Larchfield Ladybirds. So for the benefit of those who might not know, what is it and when does it happen?
So Larchfield Ladybirds is a community group that runs in the Larchfield Estate, which is over this direction. And it's a group for parents and little ones to come along to every Wednesday a.m. And they can play with toys and have fun. Chat to other parents in the community, do crafts, okay. Eat lovely cakes.
Yeah, I've been there and there are lovely cakes. Mm-hmm. That's true. So it's great to do that. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Are you building relationships there? And can you give us some examples?
Yeah, we've had a great chance to build relationships and meet various people from the Larchfield community. One particular relationship that we've been building since sort of last, we work in terms because of the school, so last term. Her name is actually Laura as well. And when we first met her, she had a daughter called Megan. And then she told us that she was pregnant. So we were really excited for her. And we sort of walked through her pregnancy, which hasn't been that easy. And she had a delightful daughter again called Emily 2-3 weeks ago, and we haven't met the daughter Emily, but we've met Laura again. And she told us her testimony of the birth. And basically she had a really horrific birth, and the doctors had said to her husband, I guess, Laura may not make it. She lost an awful lot of blood, and it was really horrific. Now she came back from the birth and went home, and she actually came back to Larchfield Ladybirds a week after the baby was born. Amazing. It was amazing. Like, she didn't look like she'd gone through this traumatic experience of almost dying. And so we were, Heike and I, who also is part of our team, we were able to just say, that is amazing, what a miracle, we're so grateful that you're here. And so we're developing this relationship with her now where we would really love to share Jesus with her in an intimate way. So yeah, that's Laura.
That's fantastic. And there are things you've seen God do in other people's lives, I guess, yeah? What answered prayers have you had for people who come along? What have you seen God doing as you've been doing this and serving the people in Larchfield?
We haven't had any particular conversations about Jesus yet with people. And we had sort of quite a few people come beginning and now they've left for various work reasons and childcare reasons. But we really feel that prayers have been answered, particularly we were worried at one point that no one, more new people weren't going to come along after the summer. And so Heike and I had a meeting and we really prayed into new people come in and new people come in from the Larchwood Festival, which happened in the summer. And every week since we had that meeting and prayed, a new person has walked through those doors. And we're starting to build sort of deeper friendships with people within the community. And Heike has met a new mum that's come along who's actually German as well. And they've started going to this German play group with their babies. So prayers have definitely been answered in terms of new people coming and us, you know, making new friends.
So Laura, what's your vision for Lady Birds going forwards? You've been going for her now.
We've been going since April, so that is 6 months and a bit. My vision is not maybe what you would necessarily think when you set up a play group for a community. My vision is really to see people, particularly the parents, transformed and knowing who they are in their true identity as parents, as women, as children of God. And I have a vision to help them flourish in various areas, have ideas of doing community events in the evenings for the parents, and then sort of building on that over the months and years.
That is absolutely fantastic. I would love us to pray for you. So what are the two or three things that we could pray for?
To pray for deepening relationships so that we're able to truly share Jesus with people and start those conversations. We would really value your prayers for finances. We've recently been told that we need to start paying for the rent of the community centre. That has been free previously. So we need to have quite a bit of money to rent the space. And also appreciate your prayers for, and also your time. Basically, at the moment, we have a team of four of us, which is made up of myself, Heike, Annie Clary, who's just had a baby, and Fran Duncan. And that's not enough people for us to run a weekly event. So if you do have just an hour, you don't have to have kids, we would really appreciate your time. Or if you do have kids and you want to come for the whole hog, then we'd love to have you there too. So that is another prayer, that we would have more people involved in the Ladybirds team.
Fantastic. And what Laura and her team are doing is amazing, and it is reaching people in Larchfield as well as providing a really valuable community service down there in the community centre. So what I'd like us to do is to take 2 minutes. You don't have to talk to the person next to you if you don't want to. If you'd like to, pray with the person next to you for 2 minutes into those three areas. On your marks, you're looking at me panic-stricken. On your marks, get set, go. To release blessing, your goodness, your grace over Larchfield Ladybirds and everybody who walks through the door. Father, we pray that what they will experience is the tangible, relevant, life-changing presence of Jesus in their lives, Father God, because that's our vision. That people will encounter you. So Father, we just release your blessing over Laura, over the team, and every mum and child in Jesus' name. Amen. And the second person I'd like to invite up here is Linda. Come on, round of applause for Linda. You can have my stool. It's kind of easier. Okay, now Linda runs Larchfield Open Table. And this is equally as amazing. And you just wait till you hear what Linda has to say to you about this. You've covered up my questions here, Linda.
Sorry.
Hang on, we'll make them. Okay, so Linda, really briefly, because we want to get on to the really exciting stuff. Really briefly, just tell everybody who might not know, what is Larchfield Open Table and when does it run?
Okay, I've written some notes for myself. It's a community event centred around a meal, and it takes place on the first Tuesday of every month down at Larchfield Community Centre between 5:30 and 7. It's an initiative of the Larchfield Churches team. It's been running since April. It's staffed by myself, Sue Brett, who runs the Open Kitchen, and she does the cooking with the help of a volunteer, plus Alice Gilbert, who's the family and youth worker at United Reformed Church. And we're helped by a small army of volunteers from All Saints and River. And some of you guys are here today, and we just couldn't do that without you, so thank you. And so far, we've had mainly families come along with young children and single men.
Fantastic. So, Linda, they all come along at 5:30. What happens?
Right, they come through the door and we give them about 20 minutes to settle in. We've got some activities going on. At 5:50, I welcome folk and I go through the practicalities and give notices. And I always offer them the chance to pray with them. Or there is a basket for prayer requests and they can put their names in or keep it anonymous. We also have a basket for suggestions to make Lot even better. And we have a Lot bus for donations if they'd like to make one. Then we have a 5-minute slot from one of the people at the Larchfield Churches. And that person does a short interactive talk. It really is interactive and it's geared towards the kids. And it will be on a Bible story or a theme. So in September we had Colin speaking on the theme of creation with a great big plastic globe and the kids loved that. Food is served about 6 o'clock. We do a hot and cold buffet and they come up and help themselves. And then before the pudding, we get the kids to hold out a big banner saying happy birthday. And we ask anyone who's there who's got a birthday that month to put their hands up. And then we give them all a cupcake with a lighted candle and everyone sings happy birthday to them. And it's a lovely moment, actually, everyone involved. After pudding, we have crafts and activities, and they're related to the theme of the talk. So we had the prodigal son, and we made pig masks, and then we had we made rings and bracelets. And it was just amazing to see all the parents and, like, teenage boys and things really getting into doing these rings. And, you know, they walked out the door about 7:30, and we thought, phew, what an evening. But it was really great.
It is amazing down there. And actually, you know, we talk about church and that's what's happening down in Larchfield on the first Tuesday of every month. There's church going on down there that people are coming to and they're having fun, they're eating together and they're hearing about Jesus. They're hearing stories from the Bible and it's a really, really good time. Linda, are you building relationships down there? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, God has been so good. We really feel his favour. We've slowly been building up trust. You can imagine it's only once a month and you would think it would take a long time. But actually we're helped by links from other initiatives. So we've got Hannah who brings along some people from Recharge and she puts stuff on Facebook, as does Laura with Larchfield Ladybirds and she promotes us. And as does Sue Brett on her Facebook pages. And then we're seeing people come along from Larchfield Festival or the Larchfield Holiday Club. And only last week we had an open day run by the Children's Centre at the school. And one of the parents there, a new parent, rang me up a couple of days ago and she signed up for something in December. So even though we only meet once a month, we feel that the families themselves know us better because they know other people and they know that we know the other people. So it's really great.
So what, Linda, are you seeing God do in the lives of the people that you're seeing there?
Okay, well, one mum volunteered after one session to help out at Larchfield Ladybirds. And in September, she confided that she was depressed. So I asked if we could pray for her, and she said yes. And then The next month, she said the depression had lifted a little bit.
That's fantastic. Really good.
I invited her along to the Larchfield drop-in, and she came. So that was good. In addition to that lady, we have one mum who regularly puts in prayer requests just for God to bless her family. We've had two mums who have come to church in the last few weeks. Folk have agreed to let us pray for them. And I'll just give you one example of in July, there's a family who've, they've got about five children, and the middle son, he's about 11. In July, he suddenly started out of the blue having fits. And obviously the mum and dad were worried because there's a history of epilepsy on both sides of the family. And they came in halfway through. We had, in July, we had the barbecue, the summer barbecue, and they just came in and they just love Lot and they didn't want to miss it. And they said, we've been up at the hospital all day and Mark started having fits in the last fortnight. We don't know what to do. So I said, can we pray for you? So we didn't run in August, but I texted them and kept in touch with them. In September, they were still waiting for the results of hospital tests. And then in October, they told me just a couple of weeks ago that they got the results. He doesn't have epilepsy at all, and they don't know what caused the fits. The hospital don't know. And so I just reminded them, you know, that we've been praying for them. And it's just so good because he's just started secondary school and, you know, it's a weight lifted off the whole family.
It's really great to be able to have opportunities to pray with people and then to be able to follow it up with, you know what, do you remember we were praying? And Linda and her team are so good at that. And Linda's often telling me about the people who are there who need prayer and putting prayer requests around PrayerNet. So I just really want to honour Linda and her team for that. And as we pray into these people's lives, you know, that's where we see God move. And he wants people to know that he's living and active in their lives. So that's a really great part that we can play in supporting them. Linda, we're going to pray for you for and Lot for just 2 minutes in a moment. So what specific things can you give us to pray for?
Okay. I would love the Lord to keep making these connections and to bring folk along. And for many who come, it may be their first encounter with Christianity. They may have heard a little bit of junior school or they may not. So I'd like us to pray that people's hearts and spirits will be touched by what they hear and see, and that unhelpful stereotypes of the image of God would be eradicated, and that they would see Jesus in all of us helpers. I'd love it that we would continue to build relationships with people, and that they would learn to trust us, and that God would give us opportunities to offer prayer, and we'd see those prayers answered. The people running Lot don't take God for granted in all of this, and that we'll be sensitive to people we meet, that we'll be prepared for their questions. They may not go straight from Lot to looking for a church. So we may find that as trust builds up, we'll have difficult questions to answer. So let us be prepared. And I just want to thank God for how he's blessed this outreach, for the families who come, for the local churches being united in this. That is a big thing, unity in God's church, and to thank God for all of those people who have helped on the actual day and prayed as well. And I want to mention the Larchfield drop-in team who have been faithful at praying for this every time. Thank you.
Brilliant. It would be great if we could pray for 2 minutes. Now, you've been sitting down for a long time, so what I'm going to ask you to do is to stand up, and all together we're going to pray. You can do it quietly, you can shout it out. I'm going to say ready, steady, go, and you just lift your prayers to the Lord for Larchfield Open Table in the remaining couple of minutes. On your marks, get set, go. Yeah,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for these things that you have initiated. Thank you for all the people who serve in them. And Lord, our heart's cry is that these things bring life to people. Lord, we want to serve and bless, and we want to bring your life and your love. So Father God, would you continue to inspire us? Would you continue to lead us, Father God? And would you continue to pour out your blessing on these initiatives and all the other ones that you give to us in the future? In Jesus' name. Amen.